Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, helping hardworking Alabamians. Also, culture war bills fail. And what are state politicos supposed to do next?
Pimps? Are you saying we should become pimps?
Pimps is an ugly word. We call ourselves love brokers. This is my stop. You think about it, okay?
It's a thought. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi.
Well, I'm not ready to give the legislature a letter grade yet. I will say if it was a pass-fail test, they mostly passed. And I think that, well, you
mostly.
Can disagree with me, Josh, but I think we can give credit on some of that great success to Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter and Democratic leader Anthony Daniels. Mm-hmm. But we'll do more of a post-mortem next week. We're still trying to figure out what the autopsy is going to reveal, because right. So far there's some nasty
stuff. It's dead. We know it's dead. That's all we know for sure.
But have you ever seen a spleen this big?
Yeah.
No.
not since last week. No.
You know, the one thing, and I will take some pride at APR and the Voice of Alabama Politics. Most of the culture war bills failed miserably.
Yes,
I mean, they were smashed flatter than, you know, a mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not go without notice that the state got a lot of negative press nationally and locally mm-hmm. over these silly bills. But they were pushed back on, which took Republicans and Democrats working together in much the same way they worked together to pass the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they died. I do want to give a shout out to Representative Ed Oliver from Dayville, who has twice failed to bring forward his divisive concepts or CRT bill. And it is dead, 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 Ollie. Josh.
Yeah, well, good. I'm hopeful for more failures. I tell you what I would really like to see, though, is some guys that would stand up and say, no, these things are dumb and they're going to hurt us in the long run. You're targeting people that for no real reason and making them scapegoats for political expediency instead of simply going down and doing the job and bringing more jobs to the state. Figuring out tax cuts for working people, you know, kind of like Democrats did, and doing those types of things. That's what I'd like to. I mean, yeah, it's nice that they fail. I'm not saying that there weren't people, good people, working behind the scenes to try to kill some of this stuff on the Republican side. There were. We know. We've talked to them. All right. We know that they're there, and we know that they understand what these things do to the economy, to the people of this state. But, you know, I wish if we could get to the point where it's said publicly, I think you start to change public sentiment.
Well, the problem is, and Susan, you know this as well as anybody, it's because there's that small percentage of the Republican base that gets riled up over on these culture issues, like the drag queen, that mm-hmm. bill to prohibit drag shows in public places by Representative Arnold Moody, it failed to get a tiara.
Did not get a tiara. And Susan DeBose with the one to codify the definition of male and female. How much time are we really spending on these silly concepts of instead of doing more work on like the grocery tax bill, more work on the overtime bill, more work on things that actually affect people.
Yeah, no, and you know, and the worst thing is though, is they just they marginalize people and they make them targets and they hurt people. That's the thing about it is you know, you try to explain this and you know, you're intentionally hurting people for because you can't come up with a better idea, because you can't come up with good ideas for governing. You know, just go and do your job and stop and stay out of people's lives and especially out of their bedrooms.
Yeah, when you know, I talked to a head of the Southern Baptist community years ago, right before you know the gay marriage was ruled legal under the Constitution. He said, "We've lost the gay issue," and what they've done is they've picked up on these other issues to try to divide people, as you said, and to try to scare them. What is astounding to me is that the vast majority of people and generally have accepted gay marriage. They accept gay people in general, but they look now to the fringe, and they're not fringe people. They're just not as well known or organized. But I will give the gay community and their supporters a huge round of applause. They came to the state house in numbers and across the state in numbers to say, we're not gonna be victimized ever again.
Right.
And I think that made a difference. I also
and they did it without violence.
Of course.
Or anything like that. I mean, very peaceful process. You know, unlike some others in
five drag queens walk into a shopping mall, nobody dies.
That's right.
But a lot of high heels get purchased,
that's
right?
True. That's true. That's true.
Good for the local economy.
Yeah, it is very good for the local economy, especially plus size, as far as I know. I don't know that for sure. But Ernie Yarborough, who tried to criminalize women who got abortions, wanted to charge them with murder, that failed.
Thankfully.
Mercifully.
Yeah, because but, it was really, really stupid. Yes. It yeah. It failed. Well, I mean, it's a nonsense bill. I mean, just the way the entire law is set up, you're inevitably going to charge a person with murder who probably didn't commit any sort of crime under our current laws.
Well, and Ernie Yarborough is Marjorie Taylor Greene in drag without the sense of hatred.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's got that man drag thing going.
For
Him. I will say this. This is one of the most hilarious things I've read over the last week. All of a sudden, Chick-fil-A, the paragon of Christian business ownership in America, I mean, even bigger than Hobby Lobby, is now, Josh, hold on, woke, because they have now a vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
They've had him for a year in that position.
Yes, but now that I read in the Wall Street Journal where somebody was interviewed by, and they said, we don't know whether to boycott him or not because they've been on our side.
Well, you know, listen, Chick-fil-A's got good chicken. You know, I don't know that it's necessarily blessed by Jesus, but they say that it is. And I think that the thing of it is all of a sudden woke has become synonymous with treating certain groups of people horribly. And if you're unwilling to treat certain groups of people horribly or not market clothing to them or not market food products to these certain groups of people, then somehow or another, you're woke. You know, if you're unwilling to abide by this closed-minded concepts that a small number of people have out there, then all of a sudden you're just a woke person and we can't do business with you.
That's right. Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. But I would ask about diversity, equity, and inclusion, what would Jesus do?
He was very inclusive.
Yeah. All right. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
When I first started off, it was all about being an entrepreneur. Very quickly, it went into all the environmental impact that we're having on our world right now. We needed a technology that could do something with all the plastics that are harder to recycle. We innovated and created a technology advanced recycling.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, I say this, and it's probably just half true, I don't like to have to point out individuals who do dumb things, like Ernie Yarborough, but he does dumb things, right? There are plenty of them. But then there are people that do what I consider malicious things. Mm. And Senator Arthur Orr, who heads up the Education Trust Fund, he's the chairman of that, and he has done more this session to try to screw the working people of Alabama, to try to screw education, to hoard more power and money to himself than I have ever witnessed. Now, we can't find out where he's doing anything illegal, but if screwing people was larceny, he could be charged with
it. Yeah. He's done work, my man. He's basically Scrooge at this point. I don't know what is going on, man. It seems as though, I tell you this. I had somebody kind of describe him as the person that has never wanted for anything in his life and has no concept of the good these things will do for others. And that's, leads him to do some crazy things from time to time. And in this particular session, a lot of crazy things, you know. And it just, like the overtime tax repeal bill, the grocery tax repeal bill, it's all been Arthur Orr standing in the way of these things, you know. Everybody is on board and everybody sees the benefits of doing these things for the working folks of this state and helping out working families and poor families. And it just... to stand in the way of this when it's a tax break, I understand you've got to be fiscally conscious on stuff when you're the chairman of a budget, all right? But we've got the money.
But then he goes and takes $5 million and creates the... $500 million and creates the Educational Opportunities Reserve Fund. We're worried about tech and not getting enough taxes from people, you know, but we can put $500 million in the fourth savings account for the state. Four savings accounts. Well, yeah. When the Rolling Reserve is not yet fully funded. Why are we creating another fund and then going and trying to stop these bills that will actually help poor people?
Yeah, and let's break this down a little bit. The legislature passed an $8.8 billion education bill, right? That passed, going to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Almost $2 billion was unappropriated. So $2 billion stashed over here somewhere, in cash.
Right.
Stashed over here. So then they had another $2.8 billion that they spent on this supplemental stuff. There was, and there, they included legislation to put $500 million into this new savings fund. And as Susan pointed out, we have a rainy day fund, we have a rolling reserve fund, we have a technology fund, which is technically not a savings account, but acts the same way. Now we have a fourth one. The crazy thing, Josh, and you know this is pretty much a slush fund.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a thing in there where they can use it to fund sort of these enhancement programs. Enhancement programs.
But nobody can explain what that is.
Nobody knows what an enhancement program is.
Even the writers of the bill don't know what
they
it
don't,
is.
They won't
it's
tell
a,
us.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's a payment to somebody's brother-in-law for building something. It's nonsense. Yeah. For less than 10% of that slush fund that he wanted, we could have the full overtime tax repeal bill. Mm-hmm. The full.
Right.
It was $45 million. Yeah. That's how much it cost every year.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have cost that much. Let's just be honest. It wouldn't have cost that. It wouldn't have cost a dime. We would have made money off of that.
Well, if you look at, and Susan, you and I talked about this because you're better at numbers than I am. But if you look at all the money that they put aside, it is 29% mm-hmm. of the entire the entire tax revenue we've got.
Right.
29% in cash. Now, if you add in that $2 billion, it becomes 49%. Imagine Apple in 2019 only had 10% of its market cap in cash, and people will tell you that's the richest company around.
Now, let me add to that. The reason they said they set up this fund was because in order to be able to tap into the rolling reserve funds, the governor has to declare proration. Why don't you just amend that bill to say the governor doesn't have to call proration for us to be able to get those? Wouldn't that have been a little bit simpler? But no, they create a new one, which makes me super suspicious.
And Josh, I want you to comment on this. I think this is infinitely important. They also, in SB 101, put in a cap on how much spending could go into, you know, new spending could go into the education trust fund. And they initially wanted it to be 5%. The governor's office finally got them up to 5.75%. Now that's forever, it looks like.
Yes.
That's it. But this new reserve account will get money year after year after year after year after year. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's just Susan's right in calling it a slush fund. It is. That's what it is. And, you know, they wanted some easier access than what they had to the Rolling Reserve. You know, they already tried to amend the Rolling Reserve Act earlier. And I think they did amend it and gave themselves some easier access to that. But there's so much money right now in the Education Trust Fund because of things that have been set up in the past by Republicans, mind you, by Republicans in previous administrations and stuff and under previous leadership. And so, you know, and those things were good things because they did stop proration. You know, we wrote about this earlier this session when they wanted to tap into those things. They did that, and it's a good thing that they did it. And I praised them for it. Praise it for them when they did it. Praise it for them a few months ago. And, you know, it just is, when you're taking this money like this, we know what it's for, all right?
Yeah.
You got ulterior motives. We know you got ulterior motives. And it's always something crooked. It's always something crooked.
Always something crooked.
It may not be illegal, but it's crooked.
And again, this is not being fiscally conservative. This is being fiscally sneaky because we've got the money. It's in the bank.
And greedy.
And it's to give or more power over folks. As one longtime Republican said to me, Orr doesn't like anybody, and nobody really likes him, but they like the money he gives them.
But he's also been the obstacle in two of the vague bills to help people, so he can keep his own money.
All right, we're going to leave right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics, and Arthur Orr is a greedy guts. We'll be right back. True.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. I do believe that most in our leadership in Alabama, I know Governor Ivey does, cares tremendously about education. One of the bills that was trying to fly through the House and the Senate and was pushed by the right wing of the Republican Party and the money grubbers who want to get their hands on education trust fund money, it failed. The Price Act, Susan, was sponsored by Larry Dr. Death Stutz and Ernie, I'm Marjorie Taylor Greene and Drag Yarborough.
Yes, and it flunked.
Yeah.
It flunked miserably. I mean, how many times do we have to go over and over and over school choice? It never passes. Why do we continue to do this? I know why they do it, because they want for people to be able to get money back to send their children to private schools. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't help. It doesn't help the children that are in struggling schools.
Right.
It's a money grab, but every session, for years, we've gone over and over and over this. It's not going anywhere. Stop it. We're tired of it.
You know what? I thought of something the other day. As I was going out to mail something, I thought, you know what? I'd like to mail this through UPS, and I would like for somebody to pay for the difference that it's going to cost me to mail this through the UPS system instead of our postal service. And I wish that somebody, because you know what? I want mail choice. I want mail choice for me and my family, because I think that's what's good. That's as, you see how idiotic that sounds? That's as idiotic as somebody saying we have public schools over here that everybody has agreed to fund because we believe that education makes us better as a society, and educating our youth and our young people and lifting them up and giving them the best education that we can is a benefit to our society as a whole. And we have these other groups of people saying, well, but I don't want to go to that school. I'd like to go to this private school, and I want you to give me your money to do it. What the hell sense does that make? That's as stupid as, I mean, the greedy mindset of that is just the most ridiculous thing I have ever encountered in my life. And that people are actually on board with this nonsense is ridiculous.
There's that word again, greedy.
Yeah, and then, you know, look, we know that this is how it works. I mean, again, and, you know, I feel like Logan Roy on the television show Succession that just ended, he looked at his greedy children, and him himself being greedy.
Yeah.
But he looked at his greedy children, and he looked at him, and he said, I love you, but you're not serious people. And as far as I'm concerned, that's right. The way I feel about the legislature. I mean, I love you, I love a lot of you, but you're not serious people. You're too greedy to be serious people.
And yeah, no, it's just, it is. You're 100% right. But I want to say one quick thing to the AEA folks. And y'all know, I love AEA. I love public school teachers. I think it's a great system. But you're not going to be able to hold this off for long. And you're not going to be able to hold it off if you're the AEA the way you've been doing business over the last few years. You know, you've been plugging a lot of holes, and you've done good work. You've done good work to plug those holes. But you're not going to be able to do it. You've got to start rallying these teachers and get some support behind them and getting them to vote as a group, as a block of teachers, and getting them to vote. You've got to do that.
The way they used to vote. And it worked.
And they don't have to vote for Democrats. They have to vote for smart
Republicans. No. There are a bunch of pro-public education Republicans out there that will stand up and fight if you show them the votes are there to do it. Get the people out and do it.
I pledged to call 3 months ago to the head of AEA, who I've known for well over a decade.
Well, I've known her since she was a child.
And never even bothered to call me back. Mm-hmm. You know, so if they won't call me back, who was doing nothing but wanted to ask a question about, you know, something that I thought we should report on that might help them. Yeah. You know, I mean, who are they talking to, really?
And I don't know. You know, I want them to be successful so bad. I want public education in this state to be lifted up, and the people to do that are the public school teachers that are out there every day doing that work. And we know this, and we know what's best for those. We know that they know what's best for public education, and I'd do anything in the world to help them. But, you know.
Well,
we know a $500 million savings account will help them a lot, right?
Not a bit.
Right.
But we do know that Senator Tuberville wonders if the educators around Birmingham and Jefferson County actually know how to read.
Yeah. I tell you, man, if that right there and the fact that not a single state Republican has come out and denounced that statement by him If that doesn't rally teachers and the AEA and school systems all over this state, then I don't know what in the hell will.
They're not going to say anything against the coach because he's the coach. Anyway, we're going to move on real quickly.
His education supplement.
His brother busted his behind.
Yeah.
Anyway, I won't. Education supplemental budget. We were talking about Arthur Orland's slush fund. Well, they had $2.8 billion they needed to spend because they just had so much money. I wanted to point out just a couple of the stupid things they did. If you look at maps of how this money was distributed, Josh, 84 to 89% went from Birmingham North, and the rest went from Mobile to Mobile, basically Tuscaloosa Mobile. The Black Belt got zip, zilp, squaddly dit. They didn't get anything except a little bit for a junior college.
Well, I mean, it's a kind of a microcosm of the problems that we have in public education in the state. We have underfunded perpetually the neediest students in the neediest school systems year after year after year, and to the point where we created an entire act in the back room somewhere, literally a smoky back room. We created the Accountability Act that takes money away from the most struggling schools. We identify them. Call them out as failing, and then take money away from them instead of helping them. This is common, man. This is what we do. This is how we operate.
But somehow, and I know we got to move on real quick, but we've covered the rest of this pretty much. They also gave $2.5 million, Susan, to the Parkinson's Association to do research on long COVID.
Yeah, and they gave $1 million for the Johnson Center at Troy, for the anti-ESG, which later after we pointed out ended up going to the American Village, thank goodness. Yeah, yeah. This is foolishness. Yeah. Instead of actually concentrating on what the Education Trust Fund is for.
One thing
we know.
There's
some kids that need books. There's some kids who need books in the Black Belt region, in Montgomery, and Mobile, all over.
They can't afford their school supplies either. Yeah.
One thing we do know is that the working men and women of Alabama did not get their just dues from their lawmakers. And you should call them and say, look, what about me? I'm a voter too.
And I pay your salary.
Yeah, but they don't care. As long as you don't call them or email them, they don't care. But anyway, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.